inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
We learn how to help the insects and the wind, especially during a potentially rainy late summer here in Juneau. Pollination just doesn't happen during the early spring. In this week's edition of Garden Talk, Master Gardener Ed Byarski hands me a big yellow flower from a squash plant and tells me why the sunny and warm weather that we've previously experienced here in Juneau is great for pollination.
Especially if we're counting on insect pollinators, we would like to have warm and sunny weather, so the insects are going to be more active. So some of those years, you know, really early bloomers like blueberries are at risk if we have a late frost, because they'll be blooming. Well, they're usually blooming about the time the first hummingbirds show up, which is more or less around early April in Juneau. If we get a real cold stretch or a really wet, rainy stretch of weather while they are blooming, you know, the flowers will open, but there just won't be that much pollination. And frost can affect the flowers even once they are pollinated, that they may not survive. And that's a concern, like down south in the big orchards, where apricots are a classic problem with their really early blooming compared to, say, cherries are later seldom bothered, or apples usually aren't bothered by frosts. But again, we need the warm weather for the bees to be out there pollinating. And again, here we're counting on the native bees and flies and wasps and other stuff for pollinating those crops, at least.
Besides cranking up the CO2 levels and making it constantly warm all the time, much earlier than we expect right now with current trends in climate change, is there anything else we can do to help the pollination process?
Well, certainly if you have many different kinds of flowers during, well, again, starting in April or earlier, and a great one, I know people swear and curse at them, are dandelions, which are an incredible pollen source for the bees and the early pollinators. You know, they really are very important to get them started to gather pollen, which the bumblebees will then use for food for their first young ones that they start when they lay eggs for those. But having more different kinds of flowers to bloom from April, ideally, into September or longer, so that they go into the fall well-fed. Many of these insects will die off, just leaving cells with eggs in them waiting to hatch. Some of the bumblebees do overwinter as adults in holes in the ground, stumps, rock crevices, and other stuff, as even some butterflies do. So having a wide variety of habitats as well as flowers available to them is really important. And then there's some things that don't need pollinators, like our spruce trees. We saw the big clouds of pollen this spring. They are wind pollinated, so they just shed the male cones, shed the pollen, the breeze blows, and it goes to find the female cones to pollinate. Same thing happens with alders. I mean, and of course, some of us get itchy eyes because of it, all that pollen in the air. Corn is wind pollinated. So I was out today in my tiny corn patch, because it is so small, gathering pollen from the tassels and shaking it onto the silks of the corn cobs in the hopes that I will get sweet corn 2 or 3 weeks from now.
I'm trying to remember my third and fifth grade biology here, but from some pollinating plants like the spruce trees, for example, or your corn, can there be cross-pollination between some, or is it doesn't work for some others?
So the key there is close relationship. So let's say apple or cherries. Both of those are good examples. So very often there are some varieties that may be of apples that are better pollinators. I mean, yeah, better pollinators. So if you, and commercially, farmers will plant those better pollinators, like Dolgo crabapple is a particularly good producer of pollen and can be used to pollinate others. So they'll have either a row of one variety and then three or four rows of the next commercial variety. So some of these are not necessarily a commercial variety, but they are good pollinators. So with spruces, well, you've got to have a related spruce tree. With apples, likewise, and cherries. So pie cherries are usually self-fertile. They don't need another plant. They need the bees to pollinate, of course. But with sweet cherries, can be pollinated by pie cherries and by other varieties of those. And truly, it's natural hybridization is happening. But since we're not planting the seeds of the cherries or the apples, we don't really care about that. We get Red Delicious apples. We get Granny Smiths. We get Bing cherries. And even though those, you know, different cherries on or the different apples might be pollinated by a couple different kinds, that isn't going to affect the flavor of them. But part of it, too, is moving pollen. So, again, the bee, that's where the bees come are so important in moving pollen on something like the apples and cherries or strawberries. They have perfect flowers. They have the male and female parts right there in the flower. Bees don't have to go too far from one to the other. But then you get to the squash, and they have, on the same plant, they have separate male and female flowers. So the bees have to move from the male flower to the female flower.
Yeah, I'm holding a squash right now, and this is the male that has to go to the female.
Correct,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you can actually tear off those plants, and like in your greenhouse, you can move, you can be the bee, and you tear off the petals, and you've got it. Basically, it's a big brush. You can actually
just
touch
dab
it right
in there.
To on the female pistils for pollination.
Okay.
And then you get weirder, like kiwis, where kiwis have separate plants that are male and female. So again, the bees have to come into play there to move the pollen from one plant to the other. So you maybe plant one male for every two or three females. And in a row or in an orchard or whatever.
But you're not going to get any fruit from the male plant, right?
Correct. Exactly. And same thing with the male. That's where with the male flowers on the squash, you need them for pollination. But usually there's many more males than females. So that accomplishes things. And then you get to something like beans and peas and usually tomatoes, which they pollinate themselves automatically and they don't need insects much. Tomatoes more so, but beans and peas, they're good to go, and they pollinate within the flower.
Okay. Ed Bryersky, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Matt. To
my body. A primer on pollination in this week's edition of Garden Talk, a weekly feature during the early spring, summer, and early fall. You can go to our website at ktoo.org/garden to check out our archive of previous segments or ask your own garden or yard care question. Straight and long, tempered.